In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Have you ever faced reality and wished it were not so? Well, this morning I faced the reality that I gambled on the Malachi passage being read and I lost. But I'm still going to preach on the Malachi passage that will appear at 10 o'clock. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come. Now, so much do I have Handel's Messiah in my mind when I read that verse, I sometimes am tempted to believe that Malachi copied it from Handel rather than Handel from Messiah. That is the seductive power of music and repetition. Today I preach about the glorious allure, the feet-tapping thrill of Advent syncopation. In music, and I quote, syncopation involves a variety of rhythms that are in some way unexpected, which make part or all of a tune or piece of music offbeat. In this season of offbeat, syncopated Advent, this time of coming and of waiting, I share with you three rhythms crucial to the spiritual life, and maybe especially to the life of a disciple of Jesus. The rhythm of preparation, of suddenly, and of assurance. The rhythm of preparation. The Lord whom you seek, the one for whom you look, he is coming. Now, it will come as no surprise to Mrs. Neal that as far as DIY around the house is concerned, I am not a paragon of preparation. Preparing walls for painting, measurements for shelving, straight lines for picture hanging, this is not my thing. But despite this, when paint peels and shelves fall short and pictures hang uneven, I'm somehow still surprised. Mrs. Neal is not. But the work of preparation in pastoral matters, in spiritual endeavors, from that work I dare not abstain. Isaiah 40, verse 3, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so a massive road construction ensues, the big dig of all big digs, as valleys are lifted and mountains are leveled. Matthew 3, verses 1 through 2, in those days John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near, and quoting Isaiah's call to prepare, John Baptist urges repentance and reflection. And then John 14, verse 3, Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you. The mansions for which our souls long are right now in the hands of the divine preparer. All of this for you and for me. And our response? Well, clearly it's not to prepare properly for a sermon looking at lessons. But we should be preparing for the Lord in our lives and in the lives of those whom we know. We should be preparing for the Lord to come in situations that confound us and faith communities that nourish us. And we prepare best in the temple, a place of community, of worship and prayer. And we prepare best by keeping our covenants with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next, the rhythm of suddenly. Just love this. The Lord will suddenly come to his temple. Now I can see at this early service that you are all alert and sharp and bright and eager, just waiting for the suddenly of God. The Advent promise, a year-round 12/24/7 promise, is that the Lord will appear, though often he will appear suddenly. Though we are prepared, it is suddenly. Though it is in the regular round of liturgical temple worship, and we as Episcopalians know what is the regular round of traditional worship. Though it comes in the context of a committed covenant relationship, long established, nevertheless it is suddenly. Are you ready? Towards the end of a long and hard day, the Yorkshire farmer returned home with his favourite workhorse, and then, suddenly, the animal collapsed and died. The farmer, stoic and unfazed, commented, and Wendy has tried to prepare me for a Yorkshire accent, he commented, "Eh, by gum, he's never done that before." Sadly, too often, our response to the divine word and divine act is, by gum, he'll never do that again. Now, through kindly offices of Google search and Strong's Concordance, I discovered at least 87 instances of suddenly in Holy Scripture. And we are going to go through one by one right now. No, we are. You know, the ophthalmologist does his or her best to prepare you for that burst of air when we are subject to the air puff, or what I understand should be called ocular tonometry. You know, they're testing for glaucoma. And they say, now be ready, I'm bringing this near to you, and there'll be a sudden gust of air. I don't care how much they prepare me, I still go, oh! All examples of suddenly in the Scripture, apart from very few, are in the context of preparation. Don't you find that strange, or at least engaging? We are called at one and the same time to prepare, but to know that he will still come and take us by surprise. Suddenly. I have rarely, if ever, quoted Jim Baker, televangelist. But today I quote his wife, Laurie, and she writes this: in many biblical examples, the suddenlies are preceded by a godly person or godly people seeking the Lord, praying and trusting and waiting. And despite this period of waiting, it still appears suddenly. Our preparation should not blind us to the unexpected. Our readiness not constrict our imagination. And our waiting not numb us to the supernaturally natural. finally, the rhythm of assurance. Malachi 3 verse 1. Behold, he shall come. The Lord is on his way. Friends, increasingly this world, our communities, our personal lives are becoming fragile, fickle, delicate, precarious, and uncertain. Knowledge once assured, knowledge of security, is assailed. Knowledge once assumed, knowledge of our neighbor, is questioned. But in all this, we are sure, confident, persuaded, behold, the Lord will come. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow concerning his promises, as some regard slowness, but is being patient toward you. And that letter of Peter is most likely being written in apocalyptic times of persecution and suffering. Over recent years, it has been for me a tremendous joy and privilege to share with couples who are battling with infertility the presence and the promise of the Lord. It has been an awesome, trembling honor to be moved to say to many of them, you will have a child. And maybe it's the articulation of assurance and the comfort of confidence that has brought about a new serenity for birth within them to take place. We need to immerse ourselves in the confidence of God so that new births may suddenly take place within us. Over the years, Judy Garland, Ethel Merman, Ella Fitzgerald have musically declaimed, I've got rhythm. Who can ask for anything more? Now, I've never asked this from a pulpit before, but friends, have you got rhythm? The Advent rhythms of preparation and suddenly and assurance. Have you got it? Once he wrote the medley, Once he wrote the melody, George Gershwin presented it to his brother Ira. And he asked for lyrics immediately, but Ira found it an unusually hard melody for which to create lyrics, and it took him weeks. It may well be that our syncopated Advent rhythms may be difficult to articulate for which to find lyrics, but surely we can tap our feet, click our fingers, and generally get moving. Amen.